experienced callers, punch in your 3-digit extension now. There are currently no participants in this room.
To get this over with, Stank, I'm going to jump right into today's topic, and that's voting. I want to get it over with now. You've got all the stories.
Well, being that I am in the state that's going to be most focused on during this time frame, yeah, I think I probably might be the person to talk to.
Your state is very famous.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. The Hanging Chad State. For those of you who don't know, that would be Florida. For those of you outside of the United States, that would be the little state down in the bottom right-hand corner of the map.
Sticking into Cuba there.
Yeah.
So tell us about the voting technology. You're not using the punching Chad machines anymore. What are you using?
Right. Well, I am in the southern part of Florida, and I won't get too much more specific than that, but basically where all the controversy was last time was just a little north of me. They, as everybody knows, I'll have to give a quick refresher in case somebody doesn't remember or is out of the country that doesn't know, but we have voting cards or had voting cards that you would put into a machine and you would take basically a needle or a tip of a pen or something like that and poke out the hole for the person you want to vote as. Think of it as a Scantron grading sheet, except you actually poke a hole in it instead of coloring it in. So, we had problems where people couldn't poke properly. So, long story short, they decided it was time to change the technology, go to something that was, I guess, more idiot-proof because there's a lot of idiots in Florida. So they went to touchscreen technology this time. And obviously we're still two years away from the presidential election, but they went ahead and this is kind of the first trial of them here. So basically what it is we go into, I'll just kind of give you a narrative of what I did this morning. I went into the voting station this morning, and we walk in and you show your ID and your voter registration card, and you go over to a, what turns out to be a touch screen. It's, it looks kind of like, I guess like a tablet PC if you've ever seen one, or think of a flat screen monitor laying down on a desk. That's basically what it was like. And the poll workers have this, the term is dongle, which is a piece of hardware that they come over and stick into the machine, basically a key that turns it on and resets it for you to put in your votes. Now, there's a lot of amendments down here. There's a lot of local issues that are down here this time. I had 12 pages of things to vote for this time. So it was a good 10-minute process to read through all this and make sure I was, properly punching in my votes. But it gives you a list of governor and the judges and all the different positions that are up. And it's pretty simple. There's a checkbox, and you actually put your finger on the screen. I hope somebody claims that I didn't think about that between people. But to select who you want, and it looks, you know, very similar to a browser window. There's no bars at the top or bottom. Of course, I did touch some corners and see if there was any way to break out of it. I had to check if that was possible. Couldn't leave that alone. But basically, it was looked like a web browser almost, as far as the way it felt. And it had a next button and a back button. You could go back at any time and look at your other votes or compare things, which I thought was a really handy feature. And you go through 12 pages of what all the topics are and what you're going to do. And when it comes to the end, it gives you a two-page summary. Well, however many pages necessary. For me, it was two-page summary of what your votes were. And then there's a button at the top of the screen, off of, not on the screen itself, the touch screen, but on the top of the actual desk that says vote on it. And once you press that, that's what officially puts your vote in. So it was very, I mean, I don't know how anybody could screw this up. There's no chads to hang with. There's no poking. There's no, you know, if you can touch a screen, you know, you can pretty much handle it this time. And the poll workers, I noticed, were a lot more than usual. So they had people walking around to help answer questions and
right.
like that. But it looked like it was very much smoother process this time, I have to say.
And what was the name of this
Here's the funny part of the story. I go in. I'm a pretty competent guy. I can touch a screen successfully. There's no problems there. But when I was halfway through my voting, I kind of thought to myself, hey, this is really cool. What is this thing? So I was looking around at the corner of the machine, seeing what it was, seeing what names were on it, seeing if there was, you know, anything underneath that I was missing. And so I noticed the name of the machine was printed across, the name of the manufacturer, I guess it was printed across the bottom of the thing, and there was a serial number and things like that. And there was a sticker on it with a number, so I couldn't remember all these different numbers, so I had my notes with me that I had my preparation to vote on, but I didn't have a pen, so I turned and asked one of the poll workers for a pen. And I was immediately, the first thing she said is her eyebrows kind of scrunched up on me, and she said, "Why do you need a pen?" That's as good of an impression as I can do.
That's good.
She's... immediately says, "You don't need a pen. You just touch the screen. You can't write on the screen."
Oh, my God.
I'm like, well, one side of me is going, yeah, I know how to operate it. But then on the other hand, I'm like, well, people probably do try to do that, to be honest. So I just explained to her that, no, I said I wanted to take some notes on my ballot card here. I wanted to write it down before I leave. And she said, okay. She smiled and said, no problem. She gave me a pen. She was still kind of trying to peer over me a little bit to see what I was doing. I guess she was scared I was going to write in the X's on the screen or something.
Lovely.
But what I did is wrote down the name of the patent number and the name of the device.
Which was?
The manufacturer is somebody called Ivotronic. Ivotronic. That's who made them. And the patent number, and I haven't had time to search this yet, but it's 5,583,329.
Huh.
So I was going to go out and do some research and just see what these things were about, see how they work, because I did think they were pretty interesting, and they did seem fairly secure. I mean, there's no mice, there's no input devices, other than touching the screen. I don't know how you could really get any kind of access to these things. So I thought it was just kind of interesting. I wanted to see how they work.
How much you want to bet that patent is less than 2 years old?
You think so?
Just a guess.
Yep.
Okay, but here's the important question. Did you get the little sticker?
Oh, of course I got it.
All right. That's what's important.
My PA right next to my Radio Freak America.
Yeah. Yes. Should have slapped one right on that Votronic. No, don't do that, listeners. Do not slap stickers on the Votronic.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That is a great story. Me is Scantron since I started to vote, so I'm sure we'll be seeing these fairly soon. Well, let's hope. I mean, I think technology it would be a boon to the voting process, no matter what state it's in.
Yeah, it was absolutely very well done, and it's long overdue. Unfortunately, it took such an incident 2 years ago to finally make this happen. That's a shame, but. That's how the United States works sometimes.
Yeah, and what an incident that was. But we promised each other we're not going to rant about politics.
Absolutely not.
Or the state of the nation, so we will not. Let's move on. Let's move on to good and happy things, like an email from Otto. Otto writes, "Hey, man, I wanted to thank you for putting the word out there about Nopix. I did the NOPX hard drive install tonight using KNX-HD install, and it worked perfectly. I am officially free from Windows, and it's, yeah, that's right, yeah, and it's thanks to RFA. Keep up the good work. Love the show. Otto. Well, thank you, Otto. And, you know, we can really thank Rax. I mean, he brought it up to me for the first time, and then we got to bring it to the listeners. You know, we used it, we love it, and we still love it. And now there's basically an undocumented hard drive install. Well, now it's documented, KNX HD install. I've got a link to a how-to. You'd be surprised, you might need it. So I'll put that up on the site, and throw NOPX on your PC, if everything works, booting off the CD, that is. Have you used NOPX?
No, actually, it's funny you mention. I was talking to a friend of mine about that today, about wanting to, but, you know, I would probably be more apt to use it on a laptop, which, unfortunately, I can't afford right now.
Yeah, oh, man, use it anywhere. Any desktop, work, play, it doesn't matter. I will mail you a NOPX CD if you want. I mean, it's that good. It is that good.
Wow. Well, that's definitely, if you say it's good, you know, I have to give it some credibility, you know?
Oh, man, it's awesome. It is so awesome. Okay, now, tonight's episode is not special in the least. This is a good old episode. We're just kicking it, me and Stank Dog. By the way, I am joined by Stank Dog from StankDog.com. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up? In case you didn't already figure that out. But, you know, I do have to mention that every episode is special.
Oh, well, thank you, Stank. Oh, man, I feel so warm inside.
Yeah, that's what you call sucking up to the host.
That's right. That's like a hug from the inside.
This special engineering is a 24/7 activity.
It is. It is. You know what? Hey, it helps to kiss the right ass.
There you go.
Okay, next week, though, will be definitely a special episode. We're going to have a gaming special. An internet gaming show is long overdue. I know there's lots of gamers out there, and I'm sure they want to hear it. So next week will be the gaming special. We're going to have a couple of special guests. I'll save it for next week. You'll find out who the guests are then, and it should be a really good show. If there's anything you want to hear about, listeners, send it in. If you want to hear about PC gaming, you want to hear about Counter-Strike, you want to hear about console games, you're a big Counter-Strike player, I take it.
Counter-Strike Roxers.
Never played it.
Oh, are you crazy?
Dude, I never... What? The last PC game I played was, like, Wolfenstein or something. I don't know. It's been a long... I'm not a big PC gamer. I do dig console games, though.
Yeah, well, you know, everyone... There's a place for every game. Like, I hate playing driving games on the PC. I'd rather play that on the PlayStation.
Yeah,
something.
I'd rather play that at GameWorks, man, the full-size IndyCars.
Oh, I know, man.
That rocks.
Yeah, how old it is, Daytona linked with four other people or eight other people or whatever, that's the shit.
It is. It's a blast. Yeah, and is it just me, or is it gameplay over graphics?
There you go.
Okay.
That's the great thing about Counter-Strike, which you guys can talk about this on the next episode, of course, but this engine is not new. You know, this is the Half-Life engine. It's not exactly the greatest, newest thing on the market. It's all about the gameplay.
Hell yeah. And we will talk about that next show, I promise.
Absolutely.
Okay, I have to apologize to the listeners, especially the listeners in the stream, for the poor stream quality. For some reason, it must be my provider, which is Comcast. I don't know. For the past 3 weeks, it's been dropping 10 times a show, and it really, really frustrates me. I've called them. I've had some temporary fixes. They have a program that they use, Comcast uses, called... By the way, when you call Comcast, you get a call center in Nova Scotia. And they've got that great Canadian accent, you know, a boot, and... Oh, I love it. And they're so nice. They are so nice in Nova Scotia, man.
Cool.
I am pimping Nova Scotia. So, they have a program called OpenNMS, and they, you know, can run diagnostics on your modem, see what your up and download quality is like. They had me power cycle my modem, bunch of crap. Well, it still drops, so I might upgrade, I might go to DSL, I don't know. So I'm sorry, all you listeners of the stream. If it's crappy, hey man, I'm trying to fix it, so bear with me. You can always download the show. I think more people download anyways. More old school freak news. We've got $74. One more dollar. I might just throw it in. Who gives a rat's ass? I'll throw in the last dollar, and I'll send $100 to the EFF from all you listeners, and I'll make a letter, nice letter. I'll post it on the site, everybody's names, and we will have done our part. No, you, all the listeners, have done your part in helping us fight for digital rights. So that'll be up soon. And in fact, you know, I said I was going to take pictures of me doing everything, getting out the money, buying the money order, you know, doing all the crap, mailing the letter. Well, you know what? I don't have to take pictures.
Why is that?
Why is that, Stank, you ask? I can take video of all of these wonderful actions. That's right. I have purchased, and for should we bust out the special project that's coming up?
Well, I
think we should.
You think they can handle it?
I think they can.
Think they can?
Oh man, they would. People are dying for this. I know it.
Yeah. We've been talking about it for a while. It's not a big surprise, but Hack TV.
Hack TV, baby. And what Hack TV? It's going to be DDP Hack TV.
That's right.
You're going to be the editor in chief, if I'm correct.
Well, I'm going to do my best.
I think you'll do a great job. So Hack TV is coming your way. I have purchased a DV video camera. And I'm going to start taping, hopefully this weekend, some grid exploits, some urban exploration, some social engineering. And all you listeners, hey, if you got it, tape it. Maybe we'll put a site up where you can send it or post it. And we're going to make a great, great online TV show about hacking and freaking.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we've been discussing this. Anybody that has any ideas, come to the site and post it. But we've already come up with some ideas. It's not just going to be me and Duel. We definitely need more than just the two of us, and we definitely need all the help we can get. Anybody that has ideas or wants to film and wants to be on there, you know, we'd be glad to put you on there. If you don't want to have your face on, we can work something out with that. You can put a mask on. You can film from over your shoulder, something like that. But you know, like you said, urban exploration I think is going to be a great topic. Some dumpster diving, I think that could be fun. We might even work that into a contest somehow, who comes up with the greatest shit from the dumpster diving.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. By the way, one time I was just cruising around on my hog, you know, my bicycle, and I had this habit of going behind stores and checking stuff out, looking at boxes, and one day, man, I don't know if I talked about this on a previous show, but I found a Tupperware full of quarters, about $250 worth of change.
Get out.
Oh my god, no, it was the best thing ever. I picked the thing up, and it was heavy, dude. It was really heavy. So I'm riding one-handed with this big-ass Tupperware full of change, and just huffing down the street. That was the best find I ever had.
Dude, that's a lot of Daytona USA right there.
Oh, dude, I was in heaven. I was in heaven. Now, the camera I bought, let me, hold on, reach for it here. I purchased, now I'm not pimping a certain technology, although I do enjoy their products, Matsushita. This is a Panasonic PV-DV52D, it's a DV camcorder. It's not one of the little tiny ones, you know. It's a little larger. You know, it was less money, of course. It does take stills onto the tape. The upgrade takes stills onto the little memory cards. I don't know what they're called. Little smart media.
Yeah, there's two or three different ones that, you know, there's no standard, unfortunately.
Yeah. The battery lasts about an hour and a half, and it's a great camera. I've used it already. I haven't done any video editing. I'm going to try to do some, hold on here, video editing in Linux. So I'm very, very happy. It wasn't that much either. It wasn't that much. I was surprised. So recording will begin soon.
Right. Yeah, I bought a similar camera to that one. I just ordered it today. I don't know if I even told you that yet.
It's no.
I went with the JVC DVL-725.
Uh-huh.
And basically, you know, the majority of the features are going to be similar between these things. It's just the reason I chose this one is because I'm going to have it. It's going to do some dual purpose for me. It's going to also, I don't have a plain, normal digital camera for still pictures. So this particular model took 1 megapixel still pictures, which is still not the greatest, you know, but it's higher than most of the rest of them. So that's really one of the only reasons I lean towards taking this one. It also uses a some type of video stick or some type of video card to hold the still pictures on, but that was really the main reason.
Yeah, I'm sure it's more than adequate for what you need. And, you know, they're not, and like I said, they're not that expensive. Unless you go to something like what Rax has, you know, the Sony with the night vision X-ray shit, you know, that's where you're going to spend the jack, but you're going to get what you pay for, so... You can be very reasonable. One piece of advice from Rax is that go DV. Do not go the Hi8. Do not go the, what is it, DV8. I don't know what it's called.
Right, excellent advice, because I found myself looking at some of those and finally learned that, yeah, you don't want to stick with that.
No.
Mostly Sony, I think, that does that. Some others do, but I think that was Sony's real big thing.
Yeah. In fact, it might be proprietary, Sony proprietary. I'm not sure, but go right. DV, whatever you do. And send in your stuff to DDP Hack TV. It will be out soon, I guarantee it.
Right, we'll put up a special upload site or somewhere, or email it, or at the very worst, you know, post to the message board at stankdog.com and tell me, and I'll, believe me, I'll bend over backwards to get this from you. If you want to, even if you email, if you don't have digital Send it to me as a plain old videotape, and I'll put it in, and I'll try to digitize it for you and see what I can do with it. I'm more than happy to work with whatever people have. That's not a problem.
That's dedication. That's dedication. And you know what? We need, the community needs dedication like that, because there's no, I mean, what, there was Parse in the past. You know, we've got SKTFM TV, but what else is there? That's two, all right? We need more.
Right.
You know, people want more. We need more. We need to... We need to infiltrate the mainstream media, and this is one of the best ways to do it. Not to mention, it'll probably be a lot of fun to do. All right, enough about Old School Freak. Enough about Hack TV. We've got some good news actually, and I try to keep news on Radio Freak America that's not mainstream. You know, I don't want to just read stuff off Slashdot. You know, although sometimes I do. It's very good news. You know, I want unique pieces of news that you won't get anywhere else. This week, I want to talk about a Linux distro that I just heard about, and it's called Evil Entity Linux. Very cool name. You can get it at undeadlinux.com.
I'm sorry, was I supposed to go, ooh?
No, it's just cool, dude. I mean, Evil Entity.
You, man.
That's awesome. I love it. All right, now, just recently, I've been using SUSE 8.1, and I've been sticking with it. It's a piece of crap, but I'm staying with it. And I've been finding out some of the apps, and these are KDE-specific apps, are crap. Like, I thought K-Bear was cool. It looks great, but you know what? It's crap, okay? And I've been noticing that, man, I'm just stuck with these, you know, desktop environment-specific apps. Like, I want to use GUI FTP instead, you know? And SUSE, I had loaded through Yast, glib, and GTK, right? It's there. I have it. But for some reason, GUI FTP wouldn't compile. I don't know why. I think SUSE does something different with the installs of glib and GTK, so it didn't work. I don't know. And that just angered me. It was installed, but it still didn't work. I don't know why. And those, again, desktop-specific apps were getting to me. You know, GNOME, KDE, all of it. I just want good stuff that'll work in Linux, and that's it. And that's exactly what Evil Entity was. When I found this, it was a godsend. That's kind of a paradox there, but Evil Entity Linux, I think, is going to be a really good distro. I'm going to be trying it soon, and I think you should too. It's built on, it uses, I should say, a custom Enlightenment with goth themes, which I think is freaking awesome. I mean, what's more original than Linux with goth themes? Nothing. So it's also made for multimedia. It's supposed to be a very, very powerful desktop distribution. So go to undeadlinux.com, try it, use it. I'm going to, and I'll let you listeners know.
Yeah, and when you sent that link, and I took a look at it earlier, I it did look pretty impressive. It was pretty nice looking. So
yeah, doesn't it look great? I mean, and it's so original. It's
yeah.
Totally original, and it doesn't. It uses GUI FTP, by the way, and it's just Linux, and that's what I like. You know, I'm kind of sick. Sure, KDE looks cool. I can make it look cool. But you know what? I don't give a rat's ass anymore. I want something that works well.
Right.
And I think that'll be it. And you know, I love it. Just like KDE, I love it when technology starts hitting the mainstream. New technology starts to become widespread, like wireless, Wi-Fi. You know, you love how people start twisting it and saying stupid things. Like Dr. Sousa, Stephen Puffer, when he got busted and the Texas paper wrote, to crack into, to get into wireless networks, you use a laptop and a phone card, you know. Just that's lovely. That's genius. And recently, a friend actually gave this to me. This is another piece of Mensa work right here. I love tapping the paper. This is actually from Pocket PC Magazine, November 2002 issue. What's this guy's name? Writer, author, Barry Schillmover, I guess that's how you pronounce his name. Warwalking is the name of the article. Of course, Pocket PC, it's all about the little PCs running the Windows operating system. And, of course, they got Mini Stumbler. And he writes, since wireless networks do not remain within the physical confines of your organization, a wireless hacker or whacker... Oh, fuck.
You're
man.
You're kidding me. It says that?
Oh, my God. I can't breathe.
They printed that?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm crying.
They keep this behind the shelf?
No. No, this is a mainstream magazine. Holy moly.
Hmm.
Why? I'm laugh. Oh, dude. I laugh every time I read it. I'm going to read this again. since wireless networks. Oh, hold on. Okay.
Well, you know, I spend the better part of my life trying not to be called a whack.
All right, let me compose myself. Hold on. Let me compose myself.
Whatever his name was.
Let me compose myself and read this again. Since wireless networks do not remain within the physical confines of your organization, a wireless hacker or whacker... Oh, I'm sorry. A whacker. Why don't you just call us... Wi-Fi masturbators. I think of anything. That is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah,
Cracker's bad enough. Please. Whacker, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I know, bro Barry here wants to coin a term and go down in history. You know, hey, I coined the term whacker. Well, you know what, dude? That is stupid.
Yeah, who's going to own up to that term? Who's ever going to, you know, come on.
I don't know. That is the most idiotic thing I know. Security professionals would never, ever refer to a hacker using wireless as a whacker. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. All right.
Unless, of course, he was, you know, a whacker.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Unless his right arm is, like, huge, you know, and his left arm's all atrophied,
you
know. That is just, oh, that is fucking idiotic.
I think actually that Nick would use would be wanker, but, you know.
Wanker, yeah. Even that's better than whacker.
Yeah.
Okay, you said you had some news.
Well, let's see. We had the election thing. I got to give a shout-out to... I found... We talked a little while back about there not being enough text files out there. There not being enough new, updated information. There's a couple zines, but they're, you know, they seem to come and go. And I stumbled across, completely by accident, I don't even know. I was just out doing some searching, doing some... you know, jumping from site to site, and I came across a new e-zine on the hacker and underground technology, underground culture, and it's called Outbreak. And the editor of that is a gentleman by the name of Kleptic. And I really, really thought that there was a couple others, and I posted them on the forums also that people can check out. But this one particularly I thought was a good mix because it had some good technological articles, good technology articles, and at the same time, humor. And, you know, there's got to be a balance. I like it when people can get a point across and teach you things and have you learn things, but at the same time make you laugh.
Yeah.
No, you got to have a combination of the two because, you know, just spouting off technology and just reading a manual, you know, can get kind of dry and boring sometimes. So
yeah, and people like Barry saying whacker isn't going to happen all that often.
Exactly. See, I got to go and mess me up like that now. Maybe start laughing.
Whacker.
Hour of the show.
Yeah, I actually, you turned me on Outbreak, and I went and checked out the site. The site looks cool. Checked out the e-zine, and first of all, it's regular, which I like.
Right. They have been doing it monthly, and we both know how hard that is.
Very, very much so.
Easy thing. Don't, you know, people at home, it's not as easy as you may think.
Yeah, it's not.
So I'm going to try to help him out as much as I can and send some stuff over to him. And he's already come over, and we've done some chatting and talked about some things. So you can check that out. It's OutbreakZine, all one word, .tk. And you can go check him out, see what you think of that, and give him some love if you like the site. Let him know. And let's see, what else is going on?
Yeah, I think his zine, just from a very preliminary view of it, I think it's right up there with Frequency. I think Frequency is a quality e-zine, regular quality articles, and you got another outlet now, people. I mean,
yep.
There's no reason not to not to be patrons to these e-zines. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the need, the wants, the desires are out there. People want to read. People want to learn. And you know, there can never be too much. There can never be too many. You know, it's I'm always looking for new stuff. Like I said, I stumbled across this because I was looking.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? By the way, oldschoolfreak.com has a lot of new stuff on the text files page. In fact, I just received a great text file from Captain B. He's a lead freaker today. So, and that's up already. So as soon as I got that, I put that up instantly. So yeah, we're getting a lot of good stuff, and keep sending it to oldschoolfreak.com. We'll put it up. And I don't care if it's published somewhere else. That's cool. That's awesome. I want to put it up there. I want to be. I want Old School Freak to be a spot where you can go for new original stuff. So,
right.
Send it in.
And let's see what else is. Well, oh, my site moved servers.
Yeah, what happened? I was getting like some SQL errors when I went to the forums.
Yeah, you know, if we got time, there's a little backstory that I have not been able to talk about because, well, they host my site and they could, you know, yank me. So I didn't really. say much about it, but let me try to make this a brief story as I can. The backstory here is I met a gentleman online, and people who were at the HackerMind forums for a while saw that somebody there posted a request, a challenge to Dash and Screamer to come on his radio show and discuss hacking. Just the tone of it I wasn't quite comfortable with, so I kind of called the guy out to make sure he was legitimate, and basically got to chatting with him online, and turns out he was legit. He was a pretty good guy. He wasn't, you know, I thought it was going to be a setup thing or something, so turned out he was a pretty good guy, and he had his own web hosting company, or he worked for a web hosting company, I should say. And we got to talking online and you know, working some things out, and he offered to host my site for free. So I have been over at his site for the last few months with that. Well, all of a sudden, I was unable to get in touch with him for a while, and the site started to have little errors, little problems, little misconfigurations, things that were unfortunately out of my control, and the biggest thing was when their MySQL environment died on me. They just didn't have it configured properly, and I have no need to go into details, but they just didn't know what they were doing, basically. They had the thing watered down so that I couldn't... It filled. They didn't give enough room for the table space. So I had no choice but to try to contact them. Come to find out that he no longer worked for the company. The company was sold. It was bought out by another company. So, being that I was piggybacking for free, they didn't know it. This had been months ago, and I was piggybacking free on their site. They didn't even know I was there, which was kind of funny. I had to open up a trouble ticket to tell them, hey, you need to fix this, because, I mean, the site was down, the site was not working, and that sucks. So it's not like I ignored it for a day or two hoping that it would, you know, they'd realize they had a problem and they'd fix it, and they didn't. So I had to open up a trouble ticket on their site, and that, of course, revealed that, hey, who are you? Wait a minute, what's your site doing here? We don't have anything. It's funny, I got an email saying, Mr. Dog, unable to find your site in our records, and we have no billing information for you. So I thought that was kind of funny. So
that is very funny.
And they were just incompetent in their questions. They actually, when I'm telling them the problems with the site, and this is probably what you need to do to fix it, suggesting it, you know, pointing the right direction, they actually asked me, what is your IP address?
No.
I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Let me make sure I got this understanding. You host the fucking site, don't you? How hard is it to find the IP? Even if you don't know where it is and you can't find it, do an NS lookup. That's all I did.
No doubt. That is pathetic is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, that just made me mad. So it's like, then she sends me a message saying, oh, how nice of them. They're not going to back bill me for a time that I haven't paid. That's mighty nice of them.
Yeah, no doubt.
But she did want billing information from me, and I basically said, I'm in the process of moving servers. I kept it polite and civil, but I wanted to tell her, listen, you dumb ass, you guys can't competently run a server. God knows I'm not going to actually pay you for the service if you can't get it done right. I mean, it was pathetic. So
you're on a new server now.
Yeah, I've gone over to a new hosting service, and so far so good. Like I said, I was very, very polite with them so that I could maintain my database there. I didn't want them to just up and delete all my stuff. So I got the site up and running on the over on the other place, and changed the name servers to point to the new place, but I was still pointing to the forums on the old site. Now, hopefully that was invisible to everybody, and the forums stayed up. And then when my good friend of mine, Saitu, just pretty much did it all himself. I mean, he helped me and taught me so much in moving the SQL database over, because I'd never done something like that before. And again, I've mentioned before, I'm kind of a Unix newbie, so... he showed me how to move it over, change some configuration files, and he's pretty much single-handedly responsible for getting the forums moved over to the new server. So once that happened, then I cut ties with the old provider. So finally, we should be hands off of them, and I'm over at a new host, and
good.
Everything should be up and running. If not, let me know, but I think we're back up again.
Yeah, shouts to Saitu, man.
Great, yeah.
Big time. Hey, is HackerMind still down?
Yeah, it was. I left work, or I left school, I should say, at about 7-ish, and I checked before I left, and yeah, it was still down.
That sucks. Hopefully they're redoing it while it's down.
Yeah, you know, I worry. Every time I see a hacking site go down, I worry that, you know, somebody's busted them, complained about them, somebody's, you know, TOS'd them or something like that.
Yeah.
And even this new company, I'm a little bit worried with my new company, because they say in their terms of service, and first of all, they clearly say at the bottom in big capital letters, terms of service is equal to a contract.
Yes, it is. I've been booted before because of violation of terms of service. So.
So I'm worried about this new one. It says on here, pornography, blah, 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 cannot be here. But it says it's also true for sites that promote illegal activity or content that may be damaging to blank, blank servers or any other server on the Internet. You know, it's like, first of all, what I don't like being judged by someone else who just thinks, you know, the stereotypical definition of a hacker, you know, or the media's definition of a hacker, that is. There's nobody promoting illegal activities here. You know, we're discussing, learning, and educating ourselves. And, you know, that just the fact that they have that on there has me worried. But they also cross another line that I didn't like. It says, links to such materials are also prohibited.
Okay.
How can they stop? You know, the Internet is a bunch of links.
Right.
How are you going to tell me what I can and cannot link to?
I mean,
I'm hoping that this is just, you know, they're going to have to write contracts. I understand that. I'm not naive. I know they have to cover their ass. You know, so I'm hopefully that this is just a contract thing and they're going to be cool and they understand that it's just people talking and discussing and learning. You know, nobody's not hosting any programs. There's no pirated software. There's no stupid stuff like that that people think or what hackers do. There's nothing like that going on. So I hope I'm okay, and I hope they realize that.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll at least be under the radar for a few months. So
I hope so.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, before HackerMind went down, Screamer was talking about new things that people wanted to see on the site. You know, asking people what they wanted to see on the site. So I'm hoping that's why they're down. Maybe they're just taking the time to redo it. And, you know, surprise us. Let's hope.
Right.
You know, I hope nothing bad has happened.
I'm not inferring that anything has happened to them. I would honestly do not know, but I'm just hoping.
I know exactly what you mean, though. A lot of good sites go down, they never come back, and never hear from the people again. It's like, what happened, you know?
Right, you know. As a matter of fact, since you mentioned that also sites disappeared, whatever happened to, was it Hacker's Digest?
Hacker's Digest, that's some good shit.
What happened to them? They've been gone for the longest time.
Face of the earth, dude. Off the face of the earth.
That sucked. I really started to like them.
Me too. All right, now, since this is just the plain old episode, I get to make some phone calls.
Woohoo!
Now, I received some numbers from Twirls, and he sent a bunch of, I think they're all ANI numbers. Well, two I know for sure, 800-555-1140 and 1180. Those are ANI2 numbers. I'm not going to try those for obvious reasons, but he gave me a few others that I'm going to try.
Well, you know what? Wait a minute. For the newbies out there, including myself, what is an ANI and an ANI2? What is that exactly?
All right, in the smallest terms, ANI is automatic number indicator, and it basically is your number. It's a database of your numbers with a big switch. So when you call, let's say you call an 800 number, your ANI is passed to that 800 number. So they know, since 800 numbers are free, they know from where the call came, and they can pay the charges, the toll charges, for that phone call. So all it is your number passing back and forth. It is not caller ID. Caller ID and ANI are separate. One of the easiest ANI numbers to remember, toll-free ANI numbers, is 800-444-4444, 800 and 7-4s. It'll work 7 days a week, 24 hours. Try it out.
Cool.
There are ways to not pass your ANI, like opverting, stuff like that. Read up on it, search for it. There's tons and tons of text files on it. It's pretty basic stuff. ANI2 adds on a couple of extra numbers at the end and tells you what kind of phone line you're calling from. I don't remember them right now, but, you know...
Again, you can find text files explaining those, too.
Yeah, and I don't remember them. You know, a certain two digits say that it's a pay phone line, two say it's a regular subscriber line, and so on. So... And these two ANI2 numbers, 555, 1140, and 1180, they've been around for a long time. They're good numbers, so check them out. They're fun to play with. But I want to try these next three numbers. Three numbers from Twirls. I'll be right back. I'm not going to optivert because if it is ANI, I want it to work properly. And I'll put these up.
Easy Reach 800. To complete your call, please enter or speak each number...
Oh, that's just an easy reach number. You there, Stank?
Yeah, I'm here. What happened there?
That was just an easy reach number. If you do some scanning, you'll run into a bunch of those. Let me try that again. Maybe I'd misdialed.
AT&T. Easy reach 800.
That's just an easy reach number. Okay.
Same thing.
Yeah, you do. If you scan even if you do some random 800 scanning, you will run into a bunch of EasyReach 800 numbers. Okay, let's try the next. Okay. That was, by the way, 800-555-1194. This number is 800-555-1213. I'll be right back.
AT&T, EasyReach 800. To complete your call.
Okay, another one. Another EasyReach number, and those may be very useful to you. We don't know. Okay, last number is 800-555-11. Looks like he was scanning 555 exchange. 800-555-1171. Now, this one sounds really cool. He was telling me that you get a tone, and then do you get a tone in a login? Or you get a tone, and then you DTMF, and it like breaks the tone? I don't remember, but I'm dying to check this one out. So hold on. Yeah, cool.
Whoa.
That is awesome.
Oh, I can barely hear you. Whatever it is overpowering the line.
Okay, let's see if a DTMF tone works. Oh, it does cut it off.
Whoa, now I can hear you fine. That was cool.
Yeah, so one tone cut it off. Let me hit some more.
Uh-oh.
Okay, we get a reorder. Okay, that is a very cool number.
Hmm.
Okay, so these three in particular, listeners, 800-555, 1140, and 1180. And then this one is an awesome, and maybe just some kind of test tone. 800-555-1171. Boy, I wish. I better not. I've got some really, really cool numbers, and I've got some tones very similar to that, and you can actually control the tones with DTMF, and it's very cool stuff. I wish I can't give it out though. If you only knew why I can't, I just cannot give it out. So do some freaking, you'll find those. All right, now next. I was doing some shopping for my digital video camera, and I went to, and I'll say their name, Best Buy. I did not buy the camera there. They actually didn't have the one I wanted. But I bought something else, and this has happened to me before. In addition to your receipt, it spits out a little survey receipt, and in the past, hold on. In the past, I used to get the little receipts, and then you would get $5 off your next purchase when you wrote down the secret code from this survey phone call. By the way, the code was always thank you, which is stupid. And I got another one, but this time it sounds like they want more of your personal information because it's not $5 off your next purchase. It is like a sweepstakes for $500 at Best Buy. So
I'll say that's lame.
Yeah, very lame. But we are still going to call it. And luckily it's an 800 number. There's two, one for English, one for Spanish. I need a drink. Holy moly. Hold on.
Now, are they going to, is this going to be a person that we're going to have to answer questions, or is this an automated system?
No, it's automated, and you get three numbers, Group A, Group B, and Group C, to enter. Here, let me read this. To show our appreciation upon completion of the survey. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me start over. You are invited to participate in a customer satisfaction survey conducted by Walker Information. So they're the company working for Best Buy. To show our appreciation, upon completion of the survey, you will be entered into a sweepstakes drawing for a $500 Best Buy gift card. Lovely. Please call the English number, 800-241-9683, and the Spanish number, 9689. Within 7 days to participate in the survey, responses will not be accepted after 7 days. Huh, that's interesting. Okay, so when you call, you will be asked to enter the numbers from the three groups below. Group A, group of numbers, B, some numbers, C, some numbers. And then, of course, all the rules, no purchase necessary. Wait, there's another number here. Nope, same number, never mind. Okay, so I'm going to call it. We're going to see what happens. Hold on. What a ring.
Thank you for calling the Best Buy Walker Information Survey. We'll be asking you questions regarding your most recent experience at Best Buy. Your responses will help Best Buy provide you with the best possible service. To determine if you have a touch tone phone,
Please press or dial 5 now.
We're just in a rotary phone.
At the end
right
of
now.
The service,
yeah.
you will be asked for your name and home phone number to complete into the gift card sweepstakes.
See, that's new.
In the survey, please have your receipt available. For each question, you will be asked to enter your answer by entering or dialing the corresponding number on your telephone keypad. If you have a touch-tone phone, you may press the star key at any time to have the current question repeated. In the middle of your receipt are three numbers marked Group A, B, and C. Please enter the 16-digit number from Group A, B, and C using the keys or rotary dial on your phone.
Well, wait a minute,
please
rotary?
Enter these numbers slowly.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to enter them because this is actually kind of useful.
They just demand the touch tone.
I know, but...
I'm sorry, but the answer you have given is not a valid response for this question.
What?
We'll repeat the question for you. Please enter the 16-digit number from Group A, B, and C using the keys or rotary dial on your phone. Please enter these numbers slowly.
All right, I'm going to try this again. I'll enter them slowly. This is bad radio, by the way.
Considering your entire experience
oh, look at that.
At Best Buy, how satisfied are you with Best Buy as a place to shop? If completely satisfied, enter 5. Very satisfied, enter 4. Satisfied, I'm sorry, but the answer...
Okay, I'm sorry, but that is boring me to death. Okay, we're not going to go through the survey. Before, you used to be able to use this number as a DTMF decoder. It would ask you for the numbers, and you can enter the numbers, and it would read them back to you. Now they've changed that, apparently. They've changed a lot of things. So this is a bunch of crap, and now they want your name and phone number, which there's no way in hell I would give that to them.
Yeah, that just sickens me when people ask all this personal information, and then, you know, they're giving you the $5 off. At least you have some incentive, and you make a decision. I still wouldn't do it, you know.
Oh, that's just it. You did not have to previously. When they would give you the $5 off, they just gave it to you for doing the survey. Well, now they took the $5 away from you and give you a chance at the sweepstakes, and you have to give your personal information. Fuck that.
Yeah, you know... Man, you're pulling me into a rant here.
No, go ahead, rant.
Man, all right. I went into a grocery... I've already given this rant to my sister, and she gets tired of hearing my rants. I went to the grocery store chain down here yesterday. Just, I went in to buy some bread and some 12-pack of Coke, or 12-pack of Dr. Pepper, to be exact. But I go in, and I don't know, you know, there's different chains everywhere. But down here we have Albertsons, we have Winn-Dixie, we have, what's the other one, Publix, or Publix, as I call it. I go into Albertsons, and I'm walking around shopping, right? So I'm going through, and I see they have the Coke, and it says $1.98 for a 12-pack. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll buy two of these and, you know, stock up, because I don't drink a lot of soft drinks anymore. So I get to the checkout, and the stuff rings up at, like, $3. And I'm like, what the fuck is this about? Well, they got the little sale sticker hanging on the front of the damn thing. It says, for your preferred... Albertson's customer discount or some shit like that. I'm like, well, fuck, I'm a preferred Albertson's customer. I'm here, aren't I?
What, right.
How much more preferred do you fucking want me to be? Turns out when I go to check out of the damn thing, they want me to fill out this big form with my name, address, email address, fuck that, so they can put me on their mailing list or they can put me on all these things that they can sell to everybody and send me spam. Just makes me sick every time I see something like that. So they don't have, like, normal sales anymore where they just advertise it and that's the price.
Right.
You have to give them your fucking firstborn anymore to get a goddamn dollar off a thing of 12-pack of Coke.
Not worth it.
Sick, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, it's definitely not worth it. Even if you lie, even if you give them a bunch of bogus information, it's not worth your time.
Yeah, it's, you know, and then you got to carry this damn little thing around with you every time you go to the freaking grocery store. I mean,
no
my
doubt.
God.
Yeah, they're just compiling massive, massive amounts of information.
I just don't know what these people are thinking anymore. I really don't get it.
It's data mining, baby. Data mining, yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, go to digitalrightsright.org, and he's got a, there's an article up right now, and it's on his survey about chipping. I mean, you might as well get chipped. You know, implant a damn chip under my arm, under my skin, and just scan me when I fucking walk around. Have a damn satellite tracking me everywhere I go. You'll accomplish the same damn thing.
But you'll get a dollar off the 12-pack of Squirt.
Well, yeah, you know, I get $5 off the food quarter. I get an employee discount. Well, then guess what? I'd rather have my privacy.
That's right. I'd rather gnaw my arm off.
Exactly. I'd fucking chew that goddamn thing out of my skin.
Okay, and rants are okay, by the way, because we do stream on Rant Radio. Yeah, and I hope the stream goes well this week. I really do. You got any last thoughts for this show?
There's something in the news that pissed me off again. The MPAA. You know, I could rant for an entire hour just on these incompetent pig fuckers that they are.
They're boobs.
Yeah, they threatened, mention again, I work for universities, and they sent a thing out about a month ago about how universities are responsible because of our high bandwidth for the biggest piracy, because we're letting students do this and we're letting them do that. And it's like, the universities are like, you know what? We're not the fucking police, all right? We don't have the time, the money, and frankly, we don't give a fuck about you, MPAA, to monitor all this shit. We're not going to be big brother for everybody, especially universities are about freedom of speech. They're about learning and education. That's the last thing on their minds.
That's right.
But this week, they sent out the same basic letter to the Fortune 1000 companies. They figure these big companies have their internets and have their big websites and everything with their high bandwidth and, you know, millions of employees. So they sent out the same letter to them, basically, telling them that they're the ones responsible for it and they should start watching what their employees do. And they actually added a little extra thing in there about how they could be liable in court for this. And it's like, I don't get this. Quit crying. Catch up with the rest of the fucking world. We have passed you by. We have figured out a way to avoid paying your fucking $8, $9 charges to go see your goddamn movies. Get over it. Either come up with a cheaper way to do it, new distribution, stream it over the net where it's reasonably priced, and you won't have these problems. But you're still fucking greedy that you just can't give it up and let go and move on with things. You want to try to threaten people. Well, guess what? It ain't working.
And it never will.
Exactly. And God, that just irks me so much.
Let's hope. Let us, in our hope of hopes, wish that they are trying to develop technology that will alleviate their, you know, cash inflow problems. Because these strong-arm letters, albeit cheaper, are not going to work.
We have tasted the honey, you know. It's not... You're not going to stop it.
Yeah.
Just not.
Okay, and again, Stank, when I say last thoughts, that was very good, by the way. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I last up. I was so mad.
No, that was good. And getting mad is cool. Last thoughts, I mean, like, you know, that witty, insightful comment that makes the listeners ponder.
Oh, jeez.
I've got mine. And actually, what you just stated, your big rant, segues perfectly into mine.
Well, then I'll just, you know, I didn't think one out ahead of time.
That's okay.
And I'm not going to be silly and do a, you know, here I sit brokenhearted or anything. So I'm like, just leave mine with, you know, these big companies, don't let them push you around. You are the new generation of consumers, a digital consumer, and you don't have to be treated and ripped off the way that consumers have been in the past.
That's right. My last thoughts, money equals justice.